Odyssey fans, I'm Bob, producer of the Adventures in Odyssey Club.
And I'm Jesse, editor, focus on the Family Clubhouse magazine. Welcome to the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast.
Coming up, we're talking to the minds who created this month's club adventure, The Fast and the Ridiculous. Love that title.
Yeah, but first, here's the latest news. Adventures in Odyssey's summer vacation begins today. Even if you're not on vacation yet, you can feel like you are by going on an adventure with an Odyssey novel.
We have a list of 7 Odyssey books, including The Imagination Station and Young Wit. You can download the list now and get a 25% discount at the Focus on the Family store.
And the list comes with a printable certificate and a special recipe card for a Wad Fam Choksa that you can make with your parents to celebrate. It's all at adventuresinodyssey.com/summer.
And now let's turn to writer and co-director Jesse Kellum IV and sound designer Zack Schneider, who will take us inside the world of The Fast and the Ridiculous.
I'm ready.
Zack and Jesse, thanks for being on the podcast with us, both of you, again.
Yeah, you bet.
Thanks for having us.
So, Jesse, let's start with you. I want to find out, what was the initial pitch for this show?
The initial pitch was pretty straightforward. It was just, what if Jules got a car?
Okay.
But the episode Suspicious Minds, where Connie got her new used car, I wanted to bring that back and see what it would be like if Jules got the same exact car as her first car. Things changed, and we ended up scrapping that part. But the fact that Jules would have a lot of fun and probably mayhem going on with a car in general stuck. So,
well, there are all sorts of crazy car modifications in this show. What was one that didn't make it into the episode, and why was it cut?
Oh, man, there were so many. One was the water balloon bumpers. Another one.
Okay, so yeah. What happened when somebody tapped the bumper?
Water would just go everywhere and spray the person who ran into them, which actually was based off of something that was like in the 1940s.
Really?
Huh.
Right. I have no idea why. I mean, we see why it didn't stay.
Uh-huh. Right. Yeah.
The car was supposed to have 3 wheels, 2 in the back, 1 in the front.
Mm.
Yeah. They didn't like that one. And then wrist twist steering. That I will have on my car. Like, that's my dream car.
All right, explain that one for us.
Wrist twist steering?
Yes. So nowadays, you know, we used a whole steering wheel, but like in the 50s, apparently they wanted to try where you just put your hands in front of you and you just turned your wrist a little bit, but huh. It didn't last too long. Hmm. Again.
Yeah, that's interesting. So we understand that your research also revealed a real life car modification called a dog sack.
Ah, yes.
All right. What is that? And why did you decide against using that idea?
So a lot of the features that we threw in earlier drafts was poking fun at things that just weren't good ideas, and the dog sack is probably one of them.
Okay.
It was so, again, back in the 40s or whenever, people would go out on their Sunday drives, and they would take the dog along, but for whatever reason, they didn't want their pet in the car. So they strapped sacks to the doors.
What?
Stuck the dog in the sack, and then they would just drive, and the dog would just be dangling along on the outside of the vehicle.
Yeah, that poor pooch. I don't know. I can see why that did not stick around long.
Nearly every show has something that comes from the writer's own experience. What parts of this show came from your life?
That was interesting because we got to a point in the brainstorming session where we were trying to figure out the angle for the show. And we knew responsibility was going to be inevitable. But another angle that was thrown out was, how does Connie feel about Jules growing up? I remember Marshall and Nathan thinking that was pretty good. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's good. I just, you know, I've never had to watch a child grow up, you know, from a parent's perspective. And Nathan Hubler actually said, you haven't had to watch that, but you've been through it. You were on the child side of it, but how do you think your parents felt? And that was a very interesting question. And so I went from there, and that's where a big part of the story comes from.
Mm-hmm. Well, since we're getting personal here, let's take a minute to ask both of you guys our
TRQ.
A totally random question from one of our listeners. And this one comes from agent number 2362, who wants to know, what is your favorite type of cheese?
Ooh, Gouda.
That's a quick answer. Very
wow,
fast.
Yeah.
It's the best.
You didn't have to hesitate at all.
I don't think
Gouda
you're the
cheese.
You're definitely not the only one in the Odyssey family who loves the Gouda.
That's, Gouda yeah. is Gouda.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about you, Jesse?
Wow. Well, I guess I'm boring now. This is a straight American cheese. But I'll try to switch it up every now and then and go like Swiss. And then I'll get it on my sub or whatnot. And then I remember why I don't normally eat it. So.
All right. Okay.
Good old American cheese
answer.
Slices.
How about you?
Oh, boy. Man, I don't know. Maybe a fun goat cheese or something weird like
really?
That. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Throw it on a salad. Good stuff.
I got enough Italian in me. It's probably either mozzarella or Parmesan. But none of those two, ooh. You know, you can't go wrong. So
you can put Parmesan on literally everything.
I think that's true.
That's true.
No,
yeah.
That's
probably
fair. True. That is fair.
So agent number 2362, thank you for the question. And moving right along, something about the episode that felt a little random was the use of the word hoopties. What is a hoopty and where did the term come from?
Oh, my goodness. That's funny. At least it is to me. Hopefully to the rest of the world.
It was funny in the episode. I just didn't know the origin of that word.
So I heard it on an old movie. 2000s, like 2004 or something like that.
That's
so,
an old movie?
Wow. Okay.
Really old.
And so it just kind of stuck with me. When we got to this episode, I was trying to use the word clunker because, again, it was supposed to be Connie's old car from back in the day. But when we got rid of that idea, it didn't really work. And so I went for jalopy and pretty much any other word I could think of. But Marshall, our beloved leader, Marshall Younger,
yeah.
seemed to have denied every word in the dictionary and thesaurus. So finally, I just Googled a word for old car. And hoopties came up, and I was like, oh, wait, I recognize that word. Let me throw it in there. Hopefully Marshall says this is okay. And it was. And out of all the words,
yeah,
he liked that one. So we stuck with it.
You know, sometimes writers create scenes in shows that are kind of tricky to envision with audio. And I think at those points, maybe the words too visual are written on the script. So... was too visual ever written on this script? And if so, where and how did you tweak it to make it more where kids could just envision it with their minds?
Too visual was probably every other line.
The wrist twist steering wheel, probably.
Yes.
That
yeah, that was definitely one of them. Pretty much once we got the ball rolling and we figured out which features we could use, that kind of cut down on a lot of the... what's visual, what's too visual, what's audio.
Mm-hmm.
But when it got to things like kids singing songs on the radio, we realized that was audio, that was good audio, and that was something that could stick.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, when we got in the studio, there was a line in the script that said, if we'd seen a puppy in a wheelchair, we probably would have laughed. But that wasn't recorded in the actual recording of it. So is there a story behind why?
That line... was inserted by Marshall Younger.
called out.
But it got in a draft, and it did not leave. And it made it all the way up to a recording session in Burbank. He was trying to say that it's something that's not funny, but because the two characters are so loopy that they would have thought it was funny. But, you know.
It was Connie and Jules.
Yes.
It was their scene.
Connie
yes.
and Jules. And when... Katie Lee and Shona were reading the lines. Katie kind of looks at Shona like, you know, could we have another line? Then finally she's like, okay, Jesse, I'm not saying this line. It's come up with something else. And then Marshall was like, huh, well, try this. And so we went back and forth. And
it was some collaboration.
Yeah, it was some collaboration. Finally we came to a line. Katie was satisfied. I did ask Marshall if we should tell Katie that this was his line and not mine. And he said, no.
Well, this was the first time you directed Shona and Katie, and they had some advice for you. Do you want to share any of that?
Yes. Well, Katie told me the day before that she will give her opinion in her notes while she's reading her lines. And so when that whole thing about the wheelchair and the puppies came up, she just stopped and said, "And Jesse, just so you know, this is that moment." But I was so excited. I was like, "I know, this is awesome."
And it really shows that it is a team effort between the actors, the writers, the directors, the sound. I mean, everybody kind of works together to get the best product, and you have to trust each other. And it sounds like you gain that trust with Shona and Katie, which is very cool. So, Zach, over to you. Let's start with the most obvious question. If you listen to this episode, okay, whose car did you destroy to get the Foley for this episode? Okay.
Mine.
So to be fair, disclaimer, no cars were injured in the making of this episode. But yeah, we did great. Jesse graciously allowed us to use his car. So we did that and recorded some sound effects of driving around. And the reason I chose Jesse was not out of spite, actually. It was because he has a pretty nice car and the engine sounds good. So that was something that was in the script, is that the engine purrs. And so that was something that I was looking for. But the regular Foley, like when you hear them in the car and she's slamming on the brakes and they're like flying and like bumping into things, a lot of that was also recorded in my car in a garage. So that was like the Foley part of it. And then Jesse's car was used for the sound effects.
So at what point did you read the script? And at that point, what did you think was going to be the hardest part of the production to do?
So I read the script about a week before we went out to Burbank to record it. So I had a little bit of time to think about it. And I think at that point, I already knew I was going to be producing the show. So I was able to give it some thought. But I knew that the car horn scene, the scene where Jules and Connie are driving home, was going to be rather difficult, just because there's a loud horn blaring, and then you're also supposed to hear other things. So I knew that one was going to be a bit of a challenge, just to mix and make everything come together. But I think my honorable mention would be the convertible top, which I did not expect to be as challenging as it was. And the reason for that is, like, a convertible top, it goes over your head and behind you, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you're listening to something in stereo, so you only have a left and a right, how do you get that feeling of something like going over your head? And so I had to tweak with that a lot to get it to sound the way it does in the show.
Well, you know, a constant challenge of audio drama is having characters enter and exit a scene. And it's something I think our fans probably take very much for granted, because it's always done so well. But making it sound realistic, that's a challenge that you guys deal with. So this episode has a lot of entrances and exits. What have you learned about making them sound right, Zach?
Well, it's hours of tweaking is really what it is, just like finagling with the audio that we've recorded in Foley and making sure it sounds right. Although I think, like, the major aspects that I have to listen to is there's like three of them. The volume of the actual footsteps. So as it goes off, it gets quieter, but it doesn't necessarily get quieter in like a straight line. Like if somebody's walking away from you, you see that as a straight line and you would think it goes down at an even pace, but it actually kind of has this weird S-like shape where it drops down suddenly a little bit and then extends out at around that volume and then drops down a little more as they get further off. So it's definitely just tweaking the volume and also like the frequencies, your lowest of low sounds versus like your high clicky sounds and walk off. So as somebody walks off, you're going to start losing a lot of that like present low end kind of stuff that makes it sounds like it's close. And then also, if they're inside, it's really helpful, because then you can play with the reverb or like the room sound for their walk off. And as they get further away, you add more of that room sound to make it sound like they're getting further away.
One of the scenes that I was impressed with actually happens very early in this episode, and it's when Connie and Jules are talking about the paper chain and so on. And Connie, they're still having a conversation as Jules leaves the room. Mm-hmm. So they're calling off louder to each other.
Yeah.
And, you know, when that doesn't sound right, something in our brain says that just feels off.
And it's one of those things that you hear almost every day, is people talking to each other from various distances. So it's really hard to make sure you're actually giving it what it needs.
Yeah, well, you did a great job on that.
Thank you.
You alluded earlier to the obnoxious car horn at several points in this episode. Where did that sound come from?
So That was actually pretty fun to make. I have to give credit to Jonathan Crow and Luke Gonneau, who recorded the sound. They recorded that. It's like a little air horn that they plugged into an air compressor so that they could just keep that horn sound going. And they recorded that for the show, The Protector. So I basically took that sound because in the script it was like there's a car horn and it's going on and on and on and on. And it's hard to find car horns that are just like for long periods of time. So I did a little research and I figured out exactly what makes a car horn a car horn. And so I took that sound and then I tried to match it as closely as possible. So I pitched up and down a little bit and played like three different notes together of this car horn just blaring.
Yeah, well, you faced a continuity issue involving a subtle sound effect. You caught this before it got to playback, and I'm glad you did. Had you not caught it, it would have been an issue for some of our biggest fans. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
So Connie is making a paper chain in the kitchen. And I always grew up making paper chains by stapling the links together. I don't know. Other people do different things. I've heard gluing, taping, like that's what other people do.
Which are not very audio friendly, are they?
Right. Yeah. I was like staples. Like you're like, that's it. Like I heard a staple. But when you listen to the Novacom series, which I happen to be listening to, Connie actually says she's telling Mitch she has a fear of staplers. And at this point, I had already recorded all the Foley and I was mixing the show. And I was like, oh, wait, she can't use a stapler if she has a fear of staplers. So I went and asked Luke, who's very knowledgeable about all things Odyssey. And I was like, did Connie ever get over her fear of staplers? And as far as we know, she hasn't. So I went back and I re-recorded the paper link stapling and made it tape. So that was actually more consistent with the character.
Well, that leads to what's really our final question, and that has to do with the things you've learned, both of you, through this experience working on The Fast and the Ridiculous. What did you learn that you're going to keep in mind moving forward as you hone your craft?
Well, I think for me, it's fun to work on shows like this that have a lot going on because it helps me to learn how to handle a lot going on in a mix and deciding what's important for the audience to hear and how loud everything has to be and all of that stuff. So just making those decisions intentionally to be able to help the audience really see what's going on.
Jesse?
Well, learning how to direct and collaborate with actors is definitely something I was learning through this whole episode. And then even after recording, just learning how to drive in the snow for an episode that doesn't really call for one.
Again, we were outside. It was a little bit cold.
A little. Christopher Deal told us that we couldn't have chosen a worse day to drive out.
Yeah,
but it was great. It was great.
So check the weather forecast.
Checking the weather forecast.
Yeah.
Well, guys, thank you so much for coming in and giving a little more behind-the-scenes insight to our fans. We are always learning new things. Jesse and I were doing this, so thank you so much for that.
Well, we are too, yeah. And we enjoy being here.
We do.
You can hear The Fast and the Ridiculous in the club now.
Or you can hear 30 seconds of it right here.
This month on the Adventures in Odyssey Club, Jules' dream of owning a car could come true.
I found a car.
What?
Bridget told me about this convertible for sale, and I want to buy it.
But the car may have a few quirks.
What's that noise?
I don't know. I noticed it coming from the glove compartment this morning, but then it stopped. Like that.
You never checked inside the glove compartment?
Are you kidding? It sounds like a deranged weasel is stuck in there.
Will Jules have to put the brakes on her dream? Find out this month on the Adventures in Odyssey Club.
Before we go, another reminder that we've got a Q&A coming up with the Adventures in Odyssey writing team.
If you have a question about a recent album or episode or just something that you've always wanted to know about Odyssey, give us a call at 1-855-784-WHIT.
As always, make sure you have a parent's permission before you leave a message with us. You may hear your question on a future podcast.
And that's all for this edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast, a presentation of Focus on the Family.
Visit us online at adventuresinodyssey.com/podcast or call the comment line at 1-855-784-WHIT. Or if you need to talk to someone in person, that number is 1-800-A-FAMILY. I'm Bob.
And I'm Jesse, reminding you that with God in your life, every day's an adventure.
Hey, Adventures in Odyssey has taken generations of children on an exciting journey, all the while sharing biblical principles and activating their imaginations. Now, in 2024, we'll be airing our 1,000th episode. To celebrate, we're inviting every member of the Odyssey family to join us for one grand party. This spectacular two-day event is packed with fun and excitement for Adventures in Odyssey fans of every age. Partygoers will enjoy an unmatched immersive experience into the town of Odyssey. Meet and greets with cast and crew, Q&A sessions, trivia contests, and more. The party is topped off with a live episode recording starring fan favorite characters. It's all happening on August 2nd and 3rd in beautiful Colorado Springs, Colorado. Tickets for One Grand Party are going fast. Learn more at onegrandparty.com.